How many people do we listen to every day? Have you ever wondered about that? How many people do we hear every day? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and social media has multiplied many times over the number of people the average human hears every day. Analysts say, and this is fairly well-researched data, analysts say that the average, on an average, we spend about 135 minutes per day on social media. This is the average global social media user, 135 minutes. And so there is a cacophony of voices speaking to each of us through our social media feeds. Some we hear, some we listen, and some we ignore. Just ask them to keep my dad. But I guess we will all agree that we listen to more than we need to. We receive and consume more information than we need to. And it's not just social media that is speaking to us. People are speaking to us directly. People still do speak to one another. It's not just messaging anymore. Our family, our friends, our colleagues, the companies we work for is constantly speaking to us. And guess do what they want, what these companies want, more performance, more profits. Our city is speaking to us. You bet, our city speaks to us. If you're wondering how the city speaks to us, think of a really good day you and I have had at work. And after work, we're kind of heading back home on the train. We're really feeling good about the work we've done. And then the city whispers to us, I'm being good to you. You came to Mumbai in search of work and a career, and I'm being good to you. Politicians and government leaders are constantly speaking to us. Apart from the voices from the outside, we are also speaking to ourselves. Our ambition is speaking to us. Our stress is speaking to us. Our anxiety is speaking to us. And of course, our joys are also speaking to us. And in the midst of all this, God is also speaking to us through His Holy Spirit. And today's talk is all about how do we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. And for this sermon to be meaningful, we need to make two assumptions here. First, we need to believe that God wants to speak to us. The second assumption we need to make this talk meaningful is we must have a desire to listen to God. So let's talk about both of these assumptions. Deep inside, many of us, and I would even say all of us, at some point of time or other in our lives, we feel that God is too abstract or too distant or just too big and powerful to care about us enough to want to talk to us. Deep down, we believe God won't talk to us. Without Jesus, that thinking would be absolutely right. Without Jesus, how could a holy God talk to messed up, sinful people like us? But with Jesus, everything changes. And Jesus destroys this defeated belief that God will not talk to us. Jesus changes everything. Now, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, God Himself, who came to die to take the punishment for your sins and mine upon Himself. Now, if what Jesus claimed about Him is true, if God loves us that much that He would give His Son to die for us, if God loves us that much, how can He not communicate Himself to the objects of His love, that is us? And so, I do believe that God wants to speak to us. And He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Now, who on earth is the Holy Spirit? I bet if this is your first time in a church setting, if this is your first time in a new city,
That's the question on top of your minds. And let me just take a quick minute to explain who the Holy Spirit to us before we dive into the talk. Imagine you're a millionaire. And imagine you've developed a fancy for horses. And you go to Mahalakshmi Racecourse and you've just purchased a horse. But you live in a penthouse in Churchgate. Sadly, the horse that you've just purchased cannot live in the penthouse with you in Churchgate. So what would you do? You need to find a stable for the horse, Mahalakshmi Racecourse. And you do that. And because you love your horse, because you've just purchased the horse, you would also want to have a caregiver, you know, be with the horse pretty much through the day, if not live somewhere around the stable so he can care for the horse that you've purchased all through. I know this is a poor analogy, but it does make the point. What God purchased is not a horse. He purchased us. And he didn't pay just a financial amount for the horse. He paid his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice to purchase us. And so having done that, how will he abandon us? And that's why God sends his Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to be our caregiver who lives inside of us when we come to believe in Jesus. And that's how committed God is to us. When we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that's why this series is titled The Resident, the Spirit of God who lives in us. On a lighter note, this is the only living relationship that God approves of. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And so we are in the sixth part of the sermon series titled The Resident. And the resident, as I've just been trying to explain, is the Holy Spirit of God who comes to live in us, who comes to make his dwelling in us when we believe in Jesus. And if you find this talk interesting, this is going to be available online, and the previous five talks in this series are also online, and you might want to check them out. And so today we're going to be looking at the question, how do we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us? This is a really important question. God didn't send his son Jesus, and God didn't send his son Holy Spirit so that he'll stay silent for the rest of our lives. Just doesn't add up. God sent his Holy Spirit to live in us so that his Holy Spirit can communicate to us. And so it's important we understand and learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Some of us are excited about this topic. This is something we desire to grow in. Maybe some of us are a little uncomfortable. Perhaps some of us are even cynical this morning. You know, especially if this is your first time in a church, or if you're still exploring Jesus, getting to know him. I mean, this talk of the Holy Spirit speaking to us can freak us out just a little bit. Imagine going to your boss on Monday morning and telling him, guess what, the Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday. It would totally freak. I understand. I understand. Listen, I know my congregation. I know who I am speaking to. I know I'm speaking to educated, intellectual, thinking professionals and artists. Let me promise you this. You're going to be amazed at how logical, how rational, and how meaningful the Bible is when it explains to us how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and how we can hear him. So this talk is all about the mechanics of how we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And as I said, it's extremely logical and practical. So let me dive right in. The teaching for this morning is based on a chapter from the Bible. It's Romans chapter 8. And the beginning of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans is a book in the New Testament. It's written by a man named Paul. Paul is an amazing disciple of Jesus, an amazing follower of Jesus. I won't read the entire chapter for us, but I'm going to just read a few crucial passages. It'll come up for us on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Second passage, also from the same chapter, verses 14 to 16. For those of us who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The third passage we're going to be looking at is from the early part of chapter 9 in Romans. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. Allow me to just pray for us before we go ahead with this sermon. Father, we come before you in worship. We thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to come and make his residence in us. Help us believe that you want to talk to us, and help us, Lord, to desire to hear your voice, because you've told us your sheep hears your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? There are some very interesting things going on in this passage, in the three passages that we've read, between the Holy Spirit and us. I don't know if you noticed, but in these three passages, the Holy Spirit is engaging with three faculties of the human being. And allow me to take us through those passages again to help point us to these three passages. The first one we looked at, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, governs our minds. Our minds give us the ability to think, to reason, to analyze, to study, to take decisions. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us by engaging our minds. This means the Spirit of God speaks to us and persuades us rationally and logically, because that's how the mind functions. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the thinking of our mind. The Holy Spirit leads us by changing the way we think. The Holy Spirit speaks to us by governing and influencing our minds and our thinking. That's what the book of Romans says in another passage. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and perfect will. That's the first faculty the Holy Spirit engages, the mind, our minds. The second faculty the Holy Spirit engages from the passage is our spirit. The Spirit, this is the reference to the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit engages with our spirit. What is our spirit? At a very simple level, I guess all of us understand what our spirit is. You know, we would use, say, something like, he is in high spirits, or he is in low spirits. Another example, this one from the world of tennis, we would say Nadal put up a spirited fight against Federer. We understand when we say the spirit. But the Bible, the biblical understanding of the spirit of man is deeper. The Bible defines the spirit as that part of us which is most deeply connected to God. Our spirit inside of us is that which brings in each of us a God awareness. In the creation account in the book of Genesis, which is the first chapter of the Bible, this is what it says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Our spirit is the deepest part of our being. Our spirit is deeper than even our soul. Our soul is all about our emotions, our feelings, our personality. But our spirit is deeper than even our emotions. Look at it this way. All of us are made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. Our bodies enable us to be sensory beings, enjoying with our senses the beauty of God's creation around us. Our souls enable us to be emotional beings. And our spirits, the human spirit, which in each of us, enables us to be spiritual beings. Consider this. Animals, and I'm sure all of us have had pets or enjoyed petting animals at some point of time, animals can clearly show emotions. But animals have never shown any spirituality. Have we ever seen any animal worship? No, but across human civilization, worship comes naturally. Across time, culture, worship has come very, very naturally to human civilization. So this ability to experience spirituality is something that only human beings have, and that we enjoy that because God breathes his spirit into us. So the human spirit is that part of us which is deeply drawn to God. We see from this passage, and not surprisingly, therefore, the Holy Spirit engages with our spirit. The Spirit of God testifies with our spirit. And this is another way the Holy Spirit engages our faculty. Before we move along, just 1 minute, I think it's important to understand the difference between the spirit, our spirit, and our soul. Our spirit is all about our spirituality. Our soul is all about our emotions. The third faculty that this chapter talks about of how the Holy Spirit engages us is the human conscience. Romans chapter 9 verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. Excuse me. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. What is the human conscience? The conscience is the innate ability that exists in every human being to distinguish between right and wrong. Every human has a conscience. Now, how sharp that conscience is and how effective that conscience is determined by several external factors. It's based on our upbringing, based on the values that were instilled into us. Those are all factors, but the fact is every one of us, we do have a conscience. And this verse tells us the Holy Spirit also engages with us and speaks to us through our conscience. The Holy Spirit awakens our conscience. The Holy Spirit sharpens our conscience. I must make one distinction here, and it's an important distinction. The conscience, the human conscience, is not the Holy Spirit. The conscience is just one way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but it is very important to recognize that the conscience is not the Holy Spirit. God has given a conscience to every human, but the Holy Spirit of God resides only in those who believe in Christ Jesus. That said, when we believe in Jesus, God starts speaking and engaging and communicating to us through our conscience. After all, God created the conscience. And he is not going to ask the Holy Spirit to bypass our conscience. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and works through our conscience. There's a fourth human faculty that the Holy Spirit engages. That's there in this chapter, but it's not as clear as it is in another portion of the Bible. So I'm going to use that portion. And this faculty the Holy Spirit also engages is the heart, the human heart. Galatians 4 verse 6, this is also written by Paul, also a book in the New Testament. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. What does the Bible mean when it says the heart? Surely it doesn't mean the organ that pumps blood into the rest of our body. The heart in the Bible is the very center of the human being. It includes the conscience, it includes the mind and the soul, and obviously the emotions. And the Holy Spirit engages the faculty of the heart. So, what have we looked at so far? Four things. The Holy Spirit governs our mind. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms with our conscience. And the Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. What does this tell us about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us? The answer may surprise us. In His work in us, the Spirit of God does not create any new faculty. He repairs, He renews, He sanctifies the faculties God has already given us. So the passage, this chapter clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the faculties of our mind, spirit, conscience, and heart that God has already given us. The Holy Spirit doesn't create a new faculty. I think, and I'm hoping this is birthing faith in all of us, that we can all hear the Holy Spirit. This is not something that's reserved for a few who are super spiritual, who have some extra faculty that's added. No, all of us who have the human faculties of the mind, the conscience, the heart, the human spirit, and all of us who believe in Jesus, we can hear the Spirit of God speak to us. Let me share something that's really, really practical about how to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. And I hope and pray that this is an aha moment for many of us. I bet all of us have heard our conscience speak to us. Have we not? Right? Now, how did you hear your conscience speak to you? Was he audible? Was she audible? No. But can you hear your conscience speak to you? Yes, we can hear our conscience speak to us. If we know how to hear our conscience speak to us, if we know how to understand and identify the voice of our conscience speaking to us, we know how to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us, because the mechanics of both are similar. Yes, we need to learn to differentiate between our conscience and the Holy Spirit. Our conscience is not perfect. Our conscience is flawed. Our conscience can misguide us. But the Holy Spirit is perfect. And the Holy Spirit can tell us things that our conscience has no clue about. So let's not confuse between the conscience and the Holy Spirit. But what I am telling us is how we listen to and hear our conscience is the same way, practically speaking, the mechanics of it, it's the same way how we listen to and hear the Holy Spirit. The mechanics of hearing our conscience and the mechanics of hearing the Holy Spirit is the same. The content, I can assure you, is very different. Consider this. Does the Holy Spirit speak to us from the outside, or does the Holy Spirit speak to us from within? When we believe in Jesus, and that's what we've been looking at the past 6 weeks, when we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to make His residence in us. And the verse we saw in Galatians shows God poured His Spirit into our hearts. And so when we hear the Holy Spirit, we're going to hear the Holy Spirit from speaking to us from within us, because He is residing in us. And so the mechanics of hearing the Holy Spirit and hearing our conscience are the same. Now, our minds also speaks to us. But the way the mind works and the way the conscience works, I'm sure all of us understand, is totally different. We will our minds to speak to us, but we do not will our conscience to speak to us. Our conscience seems to have a mind of its own. Now, let me explain this. It's pretty simple, really. If you I'm sure all of us have heard a mind speak to us. You know, assume you're booking air tickets to Delhi. You see one ticket at 3,000 rupees, another ticket at 8,000 rupees. And if you go and try your book an 8,000 rupee ticket, your mind will tell you, don't be stupid. 3,000 is far more cheaper. Just do that. And we press our minds into service. We analyze which is a better flight. Or if there's a flight that leaves at 12 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning, and another that leaves at 10, we use our mind and the faculty of our mind and figure out, yeah, some more sleep will help. Why leave at 3? We'll pick the 10 o'clock flight. So we call our mind into action. We press our mind into service to analyze, study, and make decisions. But our conscience works very differently. We do not call our conscience into service. Our conscience has a mind of its own. When we deliberately do something we know is wrong, our conscience will automatically tell us that it is wrong. We don't ask our conscience. On the contrary, I don't know about you, but I try, when I'm doing things that I know are wrong, I try my very best to shut my conscience up, but that guy just does not listen. He's constantly at me, trying to tell me persistently that what I am doing is wrong. So it's almost as if my conscience has a mind of its own that's very different from my own mind. But when my conscience speaks to me, I hear him loud and clear. It's by the same mechanics that we can hear the Holy Spirit loud and clear. And of course, we do try to shut the Holy Spirit up because we want to live lives our way. We don't want to live as true disciples of Jesus. We don't want to give everything to Jesus. And that's a battle all of us fight within. So the Bible clearly shows us that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our existing but awakened and sanctified faculties. The mind, the heart, the conscience, and the human spirit. Just as the mind speaks to us through logical reasoning, and our conscience speaks to us through moral reasoning, the Holy Spirit also speaks to us through both these faculties. I think it's time to pause for a moment and to reflect. Do we want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking? And if we hear him, do we want to listen to him? I think questions we must ask ourselves. It's actually quite simple, isn't it, to hear the Holy Spirit? There's nothing super spiritual. There's nothing complicated about it. Through the same faculties we are so used to experiencing, that's how the Spirit speaks to us. It's simple, and at the same time, it is not so simple. Let me draw out, before we go, I want to talk about why it's not so simple, but just to bring this home to our hearts, the first thing that I've been really laboring, trying to help us see is this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through our natural but awakened faculties of our mind, spirit, and conscience. Let me suggest a very simple practical exercise that we can all do. Wake up early in the morning one day. Try it. When I say early, it's not 8 a.m., it's 6 a.m. That's early. Spend some time reading a passage, a portion, a chapter from the Bible. Go for a walk and prayerfully and humbly ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I'm willing to bet he will. For the simple reason that God is faithful and he desires to speak to us. What if he doesn't speak to us? Well, we've at least burnt a few calories. Yeah, but he will speak to us, right? So we have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. We just need to be humble and open and willing to listen for his voice. And I'm willing to bet he will speak to us. That's the simple bit. There is also a not so simple bit to listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's this. If the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our natural faculties, how are we to steward our natural faculties? As I said right at the beginning, we live in a cacophony of voices. And how do we identify the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our natural faculties in the midst of a million other voices which are also speaking to our natural faculties? Are our natural faculties in an autopilot mode naturally tuned in to the Holy Spirit? Or are our natural faculties so filled with clutter that we are not going to be hear the Holy Spirit speak to us? I want to talk about three challenges and then we'll close. The first challenge I want to talk about is the clarity challenge. The second challenge that I want to talk about is the predisposition challenge. And the third challenge I want to talk about is the discernment challenge. Let's start with the clarity challenge. If the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our minds, how will we hear Him if we are binge-watching Netflix every day? My hands go up because I've done that. I'm guilty of that. Right? If I'm binge-watching Netflix and my mind is engaged with that, how am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me through the faculty of my mind? Or if my mind is forever preoccupied with my ambitions in my career, or if my mind is forever wrestling with the anxieties of my career, how am I going to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me through the faculty of our mind? Think of our natural faculties as a pipeline through which information flows. Two things flow through the pipeline: the noise of the world and the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you're forever stuffing our minds with the noise of the world, ambition, anxiety, our careers, Facebook, Instagram, you know, thousand other things, then we'll struggle to find the clarity to hear the Holy Spirit speak to our mind. Don't hear me wrong. Netflix is not bad. I'm not preaching against Netflix. It's okay to watch a movie. It's great. It's very helpful to watch a movie. Entertainment is good. We want to affirm that, right? It's balance. How much time do we give? Again, please don't hear me that careers are bad. Not at all. On the contrary, if you've been to New City in any length of time, for any period of time, you will know that we celebrate our careers. We want every one of us to rise to high places. We celebrate our careers, but we will not be consumed by our careers. And what Jesus teaches us is to celebrate our careers without being consumed by them, without turning our careers into idols that we worship. But our careers are means in which we find fulfillment through whom God has created us to be, and we serve others. So to battle the clarity challenge, we need to create a specific space daily when we intentionally, with force, with violence, if I may use, shut the noise of the world out and wait quietly to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the best way to do that is ideally first thing in the morning, before the cacophony of noises begin, get some time out, find our Bibles, read and meditate on the Word of God, and then practice. Learn to use the faculty of our mind through His Word to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us. And that's one reason why we place a lot of emphasis on what we call community Bible reading. Reading the Bible helps us hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. In fact, Scripture is the primary way in which the Holy Spirit speaks to us, because the Holy Spirit is the author of all Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The more time we spend reading the Bible, the more time we engage the faculty of our mind with the Word of God, the more we are training ourselves to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us through the faculty of the mind. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us two things in two broad categories. One is the generic category, which the Holy Spirit speaks to all believers. And that's the Bible, the written Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then there are specific things the Holy Spirit does guide us in. We see that in the New Testament. For example, the church at Antioch was fasting and praying and worshiping, and the Spirit of God told them to set Paul and Barnabas aside for a specific mission. So that's a very specific instruction the Holy Spirit is giving to that church. And the Holy Spirit does give us specific instructions. Career decisions, life decisions. We can seek the counsel of God. But here's the principle. Unless we humbly listen from the Holy Spirit, what He speaks generically to all believers, that is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is not going to encourage us by constantly speaking only specific thing to us. Does that make sense? If we give ourselves to receive from the Holy Spirit what he wants to share with all of us through the written word of God, if we give ourselves, then the Holy Spirit occasionally does speak to us specific things. And if we've trained ourselves to hear this well, we've trained ourselves to hear this well. So that's the first challenge, the clarity challenge. The second challenge is the predisposition challenge. The predisposition challenge is actually even more difficult than the clarity challenge. Every human being, you and I included, have a natural predisposition to listen to people we like, enjoy, and admire. Isn't that true? Right? If there's someone you like, if there's someone you love, if there's someone you admire, you are naturally predisposed to listen to that person. Every human being is also naturally predisposed to listen to what he or she wants to hear. Now imagine a man or a woman who's deeply romantically involved with another person, and imagine this man or woman is praying and asking God, tell me, is this a man for me? Should I pursue this? I would assume that this man or woman is naturally already predisposed because he or she is also fully emotionally given in, fully emotionally engaged. And that's what a natural predisposition means. And so this challenge is that when we are naturally predisposed to things, we actually want to hear that. And even if the Holy Spirit speaks to us otherwise, we are going to shut him up and we want to hear what we want to hear from God. We are all vulnerable. I am vulnerable to that. All of us are vulnerable to that. Also, I must ask us this question. Who am I naturally predisposed to? Am I first predisposed to Jesus? Or am I first predisposed to my career, my ambition, my whatever it is? If we are naturally predisposed to Jesus, we will be able to hear the Holy Spirit. The third challenge, we'll close in less than 5 minutes from now, is the discernment challenge. Earlier on, I said, let's make this distinction between the spirit and the soul clearly. The spirit is about our spirituality, the human spirit. The soul is about our emotions. And one of the discernment challenges is, how do we discern what is the voice of our soul, our desires, the affections of our heart? Our heart speaks to us. Our heart leads us. How do we differentiate? How do we distinguish between that and the Holy Spirit? Allow me to read one more verse for us from the Bible. This is from a book called Hebrews, which is also part of the New Testament. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The spirit in this passage does not refer to the Holy Spirit. The spirit in this passage refers to the human spirit. But the point I'm trying to make is still evident from this. Immersing ourselves in the word of God is the best way we can learn to discern between the voice of ourself and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I began this talk with two assumptions. We need to believe that God wants to speak to us, and we must have a desire to listen to God. We must believe that God wants to speak to us, and we must desire to listen to God.